Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. And also, if you would, Exodus, chapter 12. We'll get to that later. But to begin with, Luke, chapter 22. If you're able to stand at this time, we'd ask you to do so. Beginning at verse 7, and we'll be reading down through verse 18. Luke 22, beginning at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With the desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you were willing to be the lamb that was shed, that you were the lamb that was willing to be killed, and your blood was shed for the covering of our sin. And we ask, Lord, now that you would bless this service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This is the last Passover that Jesus will share before he is crucified. And he said he had a desire to do this before he suffered. And we realize that he sends Peter and John into the city to find a chamber for them to have the Passover. And he tells them to go into the city and he'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Now, you may say, well, there'd be a lot of men bearing water. No, usually that was the job of the woman of the house and of the maids. And so it'd have been odd to see a man carrying a pitcher of water. And they would follow him and they found the man and he took them to the house where they would have this last Passover meal that Jesus would share with them. And we find that this is the last Passover. Hopefully we'll get to the point where he institutes the first Lord's Supper. But the last Passover, if you would, take your Bibles and now turn to Exodus chapter 12. And we'll talk about the Passover for just a little bit. Now, we know that in the Jewish circles, there are some very big feasts and holidays that they want to take care of, and they have traditionally followed, and one of them, the Day of Atonement, and another one here, the Passover. And it began many years ago. You may remember that Joseph had been sold into slavery. His brothers, 10 of them, took him, and they sold him to a group of traveling merchantmen. And then they took his coat of many colors and they put blood on it and took it home to Jacob and said, "Is this your son's coat?" And Jacob, of course, jumping to conclusions, said, "Yes, it is. And there's blood on it. Surely he has been killed by a wild animal." And of course, the brothers just stood there smiling, because they knew they had sold their brother into slavery, the one that they hated. And their thoughts were that he'll probably be dead soon. We know that once into Egypt, that Joseph was sold to Potiphar, captain of the guards. And we know that Joseph did very well, and Potiphar's house did well with Joseph in his place of leadership. But then you may remember Mrs. Potiphar. Oh, don't women get us in trouble all the time, guys? I didn't hear too many amens on that. But Mrs. Potiphar put her eyes on Joseph, and you remember the story. She said, "Lie with me." And Joseph said, "How can I do this great sin against your husband and against God?" And we know that Mrs. Potiphar became angry and lied about Joseph, and he was put into prison. And while in prison, he became one of the jailer's top prisoners and did well. Joseph would interpret some dreams for a baker and for a butler, and things are going along. Joseph's wondering, what's happening? Why am I in prison? Why was I sold into slavery? But God's will be done. Do you remember that Pharaoh had a dream? And he had this dream, and he was disturbed by it, and nobody seemed to be able to interpret it. And Joseph is called out of prison, and he interprets the dream. And you remember, it was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of what? Famine. And Joseph, because he was so wise, is made second in command in Egypt. This guy that was sold into slavery, has been in prison, now is second in command in the land of Egypt. There's not only famine in the land of Egypt, there's famine where Jacob is. And he hears that they are selling bread in Egypt, and he sends his sons to go down and buy grain. And lo and behold, what should happen? But Joseph is on the throne when the men come in to buy the grain. Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. They thought, man, he's long gone. And through a number of circumstances that were coming, and we don't have time to go into it, but Joseph reveals himself and says, "Hey, the Lord sent me here." And so Jacob comes down with his household, and they're given the land of Goshen. Have you ever heard anybody use that term? Oh, the land of Goshen. Anybody? 2 or 3, 5, 6, 8? Very good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And we find that there rose a king which knew not Joseph. You know, we have many in our world today that don't know the God of our forefathers. They don't know the God of the men and women who began the United States of America. And they have looked other places for blessings, and the fact is they've wandered away. But in this case, they made the Israelites slaves because the Israelites were growing in number. And they were slaves for over 400 years. And the great I am, well, who is the great I am? The Lord Jehovah. He tells Moses, he goes, "I want you to be my spokesperson. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh, of course, says this, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Do you think that caught God off guard? No, the Lord knew what was going to happen. And you remember that the plagues come. The plagues come. And I have a list of them here. The rivers were turned to blood. Ugh. That doesn't sound too appetizing, does it? Then came the frogs. And they were everywhere. They were in the ovens. They were in their beds. They were where they did their private stuff. They were everywhere. And then God killed the frogs. Can you imagine the stench? And of course, the flies come next. Don't you hate flies? Oh, flies are nasty. And the flies came. And then the cattle died due to murrain. And then the Egyptians all had boils. And this was followed by hail mixed with fire. And then the locusts came. And then darkness came upon the land that was so thick it could be felt. And this was followed then by the death of the firstborn. The oldest male child in a family would die if they were not in the right house that had been properly prepared when the Lord would pass over. And following this last plague, Pharaoh and the people of the people of Egypt thrust out the Israelites, giving them their gold and giving them their silver and giving them their precious stones and giving them fine fabrics. They said, "Leave us before we're all dead." And they sent them out. But before the Passover of the Lord, something is going to happen. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." The blood was going to be put on the round the door, on the two side posts and on the one across the top. Each house was to do this. And they were to be in the house when the Lord would pass over. Thus the term Passover. Verse 8. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Verse 12, "And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be unto you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Blood, folks, is important. And without blood, man cannot live. And without the shed blood of Christ, we cannot live eternally. It is important that we are covered by the blood. Jesus shed blood. If you would back now to the book of Luke where we began, Luke chapter 22. See, he celebrates the Passover. The Lord passed over Egypt. In every house where there was blood, there was no death. But in every house where there was no blood, put on the doorposts and on the door lintel, there was death. Can you imagine the weeping and wailing throughout the land of Egypt? Is it any wonder they thrust out the Israelites? And may I say, is it any wonder that society wants to thrust out Christians? Because they don't understand that it's the shed blood of Christ that separates us. They don't understand that we have no salvation excepting Christ. But then we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. The one reminds us of something that happened back in Egypt for the Israelites. The other one reminds us of something that happened some 2,000 years ago. Verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do. It is something that every born-again, Bible-believing Christian should do. This is the taking of the Lord's Supper. We just took it a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and it's important that we take it because it reminds us of what was done. The bread was to commemorate and honor the body of Christ that was beaten and slain for our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. His body was beaten. His body was hung on a cross. And the bread represents that. The blood was to commemorate and honor the shed blood of Christ. The Old Testament Jew was told to remember that night when a lamb was shed per household to the saving of the household. Then on the Day of Atonement, a lamb was shed for the iniquity of a nation. And today, we of the church age are told to remember that day when Christ, the Lamb of God, shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. Salvation comes through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In observing the Lord's Supper, we are drawn back into history and realize that we truly were there at the cross. What Jesus did then echoes throughout history, as real today as in the first century. For we appreciate by faith all that Jesus accomplished in giving his body and his blood for our sakes. Words like redemption, redeemed, ransomed, released, deliverance, all point to the one single act that Christ did on our behalf. Aren't you glad that the Lord was willing to do that? And that you know about it? Aren't you glad that you live in a country where we can still openly preach the Word of God? And that we can tell you that we can be saved through the shed blood of Christ? There are not multiple ways into heaven. There is but one way, and it is through Christ. He is the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection. He is the light. He is the bread. He is the vine. He is our Savior, my blood which is shed for you. R. Newton writes, I dare assert, without fear of contradiction, that the inspired writers attribute all the blessings of salvation to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If we have redemption, it is through his blood. If we are justified, it is by his blood. If washed from moral sins, it is by his blood which cleanses us from all sin. If we have victory over the last enemy, we obtain it not only by the word of divine testimony, but through the blood of the Lamb. And if we gain admittance into heaven, it is because we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, we are before the throne of God. Everything depends on the blood of Christ, and without shedding of blood is no remission, unquote. The Lord shared his last Passover meal with the disciples before he would be taken to the cross. But before that, he would institute the Lord's Supper so that we would remember what he has done on our behalf. Shall we stand together? If you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I plead with you to get it right today. If you have never come to him and asked for forgiveness and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, may it be today. If you have, maybe you want to come and just thank him again for what he has done on our behalf. Maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? Lord, should I take another step of faith? Should I be willing, Lord, to be used of you in yet another way? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask at this invitation time that the Spirit would move, that hearts would be touched, that souls could be saved and made right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.